Well, I know you'll be disappointed, but I'm not going to talk about money. Well, a couple sentences, but only a couple sentences. What I want to talk about is something that I think is equally important in that gospel, and that's the discussion that leads up to it. And we can get a little confused sometimes when we hear this gospel, because there are moments when it almost sounds like Jesus is praising dishonesty, huh? But what Christ is actually holding up for us to imitate is that fraud's shrewdness, his gumption, his tactics. This crook knew his employment was ending, so he uses his position and his connections to his advantage. He looks out for himself by reducing the debts of his master's debtors, expecting that then he'll get a job from one of them. He's acting shrewdly, you know, like professional athletes and movie stars, famous people and ordinary people, those who take every opportunity to advance themselves, turning situations into their advantage. And then Jesus kind of, you know, wags his finger at us. He says, us followers, we ought to be just as cunning and clever and crafty as that cheating steward was. Not for our own self-promotion like him, but for building up the kingdom of God on earth now. You know, that cheating steward, he kept account books for his master. And each one of us has three account books with our master in heaven. And these records are evidence of whether or not we're building up the kingdom of God. You know, it's all about returning that love that God has given to us. There are three concrete ways that we can return that love. And you've heard them all before: time, talent, and treasure. So that first account book reports our investment of time with God. Prayer. It's the most difficult one for me to make time, take the time for prayer every day, you know, because there's no spare time. I can fill the day with work and errands. The church work never ends. It's like a little baby with the mouth open, always hungry. Wow, more, 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 you know. So, and this is maybe true for you too with, you know, different areas of your life. But I know I won't have a good relationship with the Lord unless I carve out some time for a daily conversation with him. Our second account book is talent. How have we invested our abilities, our natural aptitudes, and our skills with people in need and with God through the church? And we'll have an opportunity for that next weekend at our annual sign-up for ministries. Our third account book is treasure, reporting on how we've invested financially in our parish family and in our brothers and sisters who need our help. Imagine how different the church and the world would be if every Catholic kept their three account books growing. But more often, we keep falling into that trap where we allow the busyness of our lives, the sequence of daily events, the pressures of life, to distract us from keeping in mind our long-term goal of being in heaven. We forget that everything in this life, everything, is passing. There have been periods of history when the popular culture was actually Christian and helped people to be true to their Christian mission. We no longer live in a period like that. Our culture promotes taking as much as you can for yourself. That is not Jesus's way. Our Christian faith isn't just a set of beliefs. It's not just a one-time choice. It's the whole way we see the world. we have to make a conscious effort to remember that our everyday choices and decisions either draw us closer to Christ or push us away from him. If we are intentional disciples of Jesus, we live in a way where our time, talent, and treasure, all those choices we make in those three areas, they become patterns of behavior that make us good stewards of the gifts God has given us, and they move us towards eternal life. Jesus wants us followers to be clever at building up the kingdom of God on this earth with our best efforts while we're here, using our resources and opportunities as we're able. When Pope Francis preached on this gospel several years ago, he said, "Christian cleverness is a gift, a grace that the Lord will give us, but we need to ask for it. So let us pray for cleverness in how we can be good stewards for the good of our church and for our brothers and sisters in need, so we can build up the kingdom of God on this earth now. Pray for how we can best invest what's been entrusted to us for maximum effect." In other words, let's each of us pray to grow as an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ.